You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. You can be a part. Phones are up and running. Text lines are working. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I'm sure our fine engineering crew had everything to do with that fix. Or maybe it was just me doing the fonts, you know, making the music start by hitting the jukebox. Mm-hmm. Matt Rothschild joining me as the co-host today, formerly of the Progressive Magazine, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, currently a friend of ours and frequent Civic Media contributor. Matt, thanks for joining us, man.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Julie Bomar was great, wasn't she? Wisconsin Farmers Union, such a great group.
Yeah, really, really appreciate Julie Bomar. She's the executive director over at the Wisconsin Farmers Union, joining us for the last couple of segments. She rocks solid. And you know, I appreciate, you know, the fact that this is a nonpartisan issue. You know, everybody got to eat, Matt. You know what I mean? And there's conservatives that are in farming. There's liberals that are in farming. There's folks that don't even give a damn about the government that are in farming. Hell, some folks farming just to feed themselves. And we do have unfortunately, the circumstances that we are in as a state, as a country, more and more folks are relying on some of these programs and to go and gut this local Wisconsin program. It's not just here, it's other states as well. I think there's some reporting in New Mexico about how this is going to be challenging for those food-challenged folks in other states as well. So, and don't forget, folks, this is all because of tax breaks for the rich. That's why we're cutting a $4 million project or program right here in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, billionaires can make a little bit more. Matt, let's move on, if we could, to the national stage. A rolling constitutional crisis. I mean, I'm not clear how to characterize the varied efforts of the Trump administration and their different court cases. But it seemingly is getting pretty close, and it got so bad, in fact, that Chief Justice John Roberts had to jump in, you know, this guy. Now, how long is it going to be before he's some sort of woke, lunatic left person in Trump's mind or in MAGA's world? I want to get a little bit from this Atlantic article out there, and then I want to talk with you, Matt, and, of course, our fair audience as well, about where we stand as a country. Now, we know that the Trump administration was battling this judge because of these Venezuelans that were deported to El Salvador. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but bear with me. Apparently, they defied this judge's order, and the Justice Department attorneys tried to get a hearing canceled, then refused to tell the judge and suggested he be removed from the case. Wait, what? This is what the DOJ said. And then Trump himself entered the fray via his, I guess, Truthy Social. Here's what Trump had to say about this issue. This radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker, and agitator who was sadly appointed by Barack Hussein Obama, was not elected president. This judge, like many of the crooked judges I am forced to appear before, should be impeached. Capitals, exclamation points, three of them, so he really means it. Now, as The Atlantic reports, that was enough to provoke a reply from Chief Justice John Roberts, who seldom makes public comments. And here's his quote. For more than two centuries, it has been established that impeachment is not an appropriate response to disagreement concerning a judicial decision. The normal appellate review process exists for that purpose. Now, for Roberts, according to The Atlantic, that qualifies as a sharp response. Let's stop there. Matt Rothschild, your thoughts on the Chief Justice's comments.
Well, Chief Justice Roberts disgusts me, frankly, and is one of the people most responsible for the predicament that we're in, this authoritarianism, this fascism that we're facing, and getting worse every day. Chief Justice Roberts and the other conservatives on the U.S. Supreme Court delayed Jack Smith and the effort to prosecute Donald Trump for the crimes that Donald Trump committed on January 6th. And then they gave him a huge get out of jail free card and said nothing that a president does with their duties as either commander in chief or chief enforcer and executor of the laws, he can be prosecuted for. So basically they gave him a machine gun just to, you know, shoot holes into the Constitution and ruin the checks and balances system that we have. And so he did that on the one hand, 8 months ago, and now all of a sudden he's shocked that Donald Trump is violating the Constitution. I mean, give me a break. There are few people more responsible for the crisis we're in than Chief Justice Roberts. I mean, it's just, you know, he's got to stand up for the court now while his judges are being attacked, but he brought on this predicament.
He did. Well, don't you know, Matt, the normal appellate review process exists for this purpose. As The Atlantic points out, and this is something that I was pondering about myself, the statement is notable for what it leaves out. It leaves out any acknowledgement of the substantive dispute in the case, which is whether Trump is defying court orders. Roberts seems more concerned about rhetorical attacks on personal and on the personal integrity or employment status of judges than he does with a systemic attack on the judiciary as a whole. And The Atlantic goes on to point out, well, you know, maybe at some point, Roberts is being cautious here because perhaps this could come before him. As mentioned, perhaps he doesn't want to weigh in on Trump's apparent willingness to defy courts because he expects these matters to reach the Supreme Court and doesn't want to appear to be an interested party. Or perhaps Roberts is less bothered because he believes the president will prevail on these matters at the Supreme Court. Trump is effective at destroying norms because he forces institutions and individuals to either succumb to his partisan logic or avoid the fight and thus cede the debate to him. I thought it was notable as well. I mean, he's talking about, oh, you can't impeach a judge. That's why you got to apologize for it. But what about the fact that this guy's out there openly defying your orders, or at least the court's orders? Anything to say about that, Chief Justice Roberts?
Right. And then you have Homeland Security Holman saying, I don't care about judges' orders. I don't care about anything. We're going to keep going. Well, that's the attitude of other people in Trump world. Well, that's not how our democracy is supposed to work here. And when a judge says you can't do this, you can't do it. And these guys are doing it anyway. They're flying Venezuelan alleged gang members, to El Salvador after the judge told them not to fly and told the plane in the air to turn around. They didn't do either of those things. And now they don't even want to give the judge, the coordinates of when the plane took off, for God's sake.
Right. What? And the judges, according to The Hill, are giving them plenty of time, like until again tomorrow, not just, Monday, not just Tuesday. Now, apparently until tomorrow to come up with that. It seems, I don't know, I think sometimes I'm hopeful that they're, trying to give them as much, rope to hang themselves with, that kind of attitude. But I'm also, looking back at what happened here, Matt, over the last 4 to 8, 10 years and how this guy's continued to evade a consequence for his unconstitutional, illegal, fraudulent, abusive attitudes and actions.
And that's who this guy is. I mean, he is a playground bully. The guy on the playground who said, you told him you got to stop doing that. And he says, who's going to make me, or you in what army? And that's who Trump is. He's like Stalin, who said, how many divisions does the Pope have, when someone told him that, the Pope didn't like his policies? Well, how many divisions does Chief Roberts have? How many divisions does the Senate and the House have? They've got none. So when push comes to shove,
Sergeant at arms, baby, yeah. Sergeant at arms, go get them.
Trump loves, push coming to shove, and he's going to continue doing this. And who's going to stop him? I mean, that's the predicament we're in when Chief Justice Roberts said anything the president does is legal, as part of his duties as chief executive.
It's almost like those that ruling is coming back to bite them in the ass right now.
Yeah, and, what's he going to do? Oops, I made a mistake. Sorry, I shouldn't have given him this blank check. Sorry, I shouldn't have given him this bazooka to blow up our Constitution. It didn't take a genius to figure out that's who this guy was and that's what he'd do if he got power again, or any other megalomaniac, narcissist president who would come into the Oval Office. That's why it was such a disgraceful decision. He made the bed. Now he doesn't want to sleep in it.
Well, maybe, as our texter from Madison, Ken, points out, maybe The Supreme Court decision on presidential immunity was a calculated setup of Donald Trump to get him to do something so bad that impeachment and removal would be unavoidable. I mean,
well, that's a wish, though. I mean, you're going to get impeachment with a Republican-dominated Senate and House. That's just not going to happen.
Worse than calling the mob to D.C. to stop the counting of the votes. I mean, come on, man. It could be worse. I mean, it could easily be worse. The bar has been lowered constantly since this man has entered the political arena. And I didn't think that could happen, but it did. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Phones are working. All right. Got it going on. Dale from Wausau. You're up. Happy days, Dale. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Dom. See, I was on your show a few days ago, and I had said that there is something strategically and geographically important to the Trump administration for this push to buy or make Greenland part of the United States. I think that something that Trump is interested in regards to Greenland is for a refueling and staging area for American and Russian aircraft and ships. I have heard also the talk about Trump looking at possibly taking rare earth minerals from Greenland. Mm. The smart money, I think, is on a refueling and staging area for American and Russian aircraft and ships, because Putin has eyes on Alaska and Trump has eyes on Canada, and Greenland to our east would be a perfect spot for Putin's aims and Trump's aims.
Hmm. Thank you, Dale from Wausau. Appreciate it. And, you know, here's the thing, and I get what you're saying. And from a strategic standpoint, perhaps those are some of the thoughts going through their heads. Certainly, we know that Putin likes to, you know, he wants to rebuild the USSR. He wants to like the good old days, right? And he wants Ukraine. And apparently, perhaps this administration is willing to give up at least some of that to Putin. But we don't have to, you know, buy or own, you know, a country. We didn't buy or own Saudi Arabia when we found out, I don't know, during the first Gulf War that we had secret bases in Saudi Arabia that we're going to use. I mean, do we own Saudi or any of the other countries that we have military installations in? Do we own them? No, this is just crazy talk, man. I think in some regard, Donald Trump wants to be Putin so bad that he's like, well, if Putin can get Ukraine, man, I want Canada. I want Canada just because it's right there and, you know, we subsidize them, quote unquote, which is, of course, total bunk. Folks, come back with us. Matt Rothschild, Just PS, is on the board. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Are you a Dem and are you mad enough? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild joining us today. Just PS working hard on the board and on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. Are you angry? Are you a Dem? Are you angry? Are you angry at the Democratic Party leadership? Not necessarily right here in the state of Wisconsin, but perhaps the senatorial leadership when they went for the continuing resolution without getting anything back for it. We'll get to that in a moment. 855-75-CIVIC. Joe from Madison, you are up next. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, I'd like to go with the expansionist program that Dale had made mention of, and yeah. I just wanted to comment on there, and I would really be interested in your thoughts on this too, Matt, because you're somebody that looks at trends and has been around and been able to see how changes are happening, and I think they're happening really fast within Europe. Germany just signed off on a $1 trillion package to up their military, and Volkswagen said, yeah, we'll be there to help you out with that, which, you know, kind of brings up a few memories. Mm-hmm. There is a video of France, one of their nuclear powered subs just popped up outside of Nova Scotia, Canada, interesting, 300 miles from the U.S. just within the last week. And in addition, there was a photo of a French plane, military plane, that was landing in one of those icy airfields in Greenland, and just had to make sure that there were pictures just so we knew, you know, what's going on. The F-35, Canada and Portugal saying, don't think we want those American planes. And then within the countries of Europe, Poland, 200,000 people in their military now, they want to up it to 500,000. They are talking about compulsory service, yeah, for all men, and like they have in Switzerland, talking about landmining the borders and looking around for nukes. And then just this week, The Guardian publishes an article that every household in France is receiving a 20-page document that gives them information on how they should prepare for, well, natural disasters, okay, but then also nuclear attacks and warfare, with the kinds of things that you should have in your household to get by. And then we have word that apparently we've had this forever and ever, but the Supreme Allied Commando of NATO has always been a U.S. four-star general, and they are looking at getting rid of that because of, quote, consolidation for cost-cutting. This is fascinating to me. This is like bye-bye Miss American Pie in terms of Europe, and then, as we said, what may be going on in Canada and Greenland. So I'd be really curious, and I think this is certainly a subject that we'll be returning to, but it just seems like there are a lot of different threads in a lot of different countries that would make one think that things are shifting, things are rolling in a different direction, and I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Joe. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, there is a tectonic shift going on that Trump is bringing about. I mean, he's basically kissing Europe off and telling them, guess what, folks, you're on your own. And Europe is realizing that. France is considering using its nuclear weapons as an umbrella for the rest of NATO, knowing that Trump can't be relied on. And what Trump is, as Joe put it, is an expansionist. He views himself as a 19th century imperialist. That's why he keeps invoking President McKinley. McKinley led us in the Spanish-American War and went down to Cuba. Trump loves him. He mentions him all the time. And I think the kind of new global order that we're going to be seeing is Trump, Putin, and maybe Xi of China, too, coming together and saying, yeah, we can take Greenland. You guys, Xi, you can have Taiwan. Putin, you can have part of Ukraine. And let's just play big power 19th century politics.
Right, the spheres of influence of our, you know, our immediate neighbors. Well, that's who you get to control. Everybody, we all agree on that? Yeah, great idea. Anybody asking the other people in the spheres of influence whether they want that kind of control?
Not at all.
No. You don't get to ask that question. American pie. Good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. 855-752-4842, 855-75 Civic. Bob from Madison texts in. It hasn't been a quarter of a year, and we have at least four to take. OMG. Yeah, it seems seems like a lot. Matt,
it's going to be a long 4 years.
Well, that's fine, man. We'll keep pushing back. That, you know, this is what it is. This is what we do, and you know, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it anymore. This administration invoking this Aliens Enemy Act, right? I mean, we're not at war, right? You know, isn't this something supposed to do when we're at war? I mean, maybe he's thinking, well, we're at war with the Constitution, so I can get away with this. But it seems like, I don't know, call it overreach, to put it bluntly.
It's an act from 1798, and it says whenever there's a declared war between the United States and any foreign nation or government. Well, there isn't a declared war. Congress hasn't declared war. That's what's supposed to happen under our Constitution. And, you know, Trump issues an executive order that says we're at war, but that's not how it's supposed to work. And, you know, he thinks he can, you know, issue an executive order saying he's king.
And what, MAGA's going along with it? Like, people think, well, this is how it's supposed to be. This is what we voted for. I'm thinking, no, I don't think so. And every time this administration, you know, seeks and, you know, reaches into its grab bag to try to pull out some additional authoritarianism, I think that they're justly being met with resistance because we're not at war. Well, I mean, and it doesn't say police action. We did a lot of police actions, right, Matt? I mean, what does that say? We're actually officially at war. So he's pulling, they're just pulling every trick that they can to try to justify the expanded executive branch power. Let's call it authoritarianism. Doesn't believe in the separation of the power. Doesn't believe that the court should be able to defy him. He's already got, at least for, you know, the next couple of years, year and a half, you know, that power will be waning soon, the influence that he has over Congress. You know, these Republicans aren't showing up to their town halls anymore. They don't want to take the beating. So they're saying, oh, no more of that. We'll continue to do our thing. But 100 days is going to pass, come and go pretty quick. I mean, it's moving real fast. And we're going to see what the ultimate reactions are. We've seen the markets. We've gone up and down. Now, the markets were up a little bit today. Didn't have to start out with the closing bell discussion because the markets were up a bit. The Fed, they met today. What's happening on the Fed? They set the interest rates. What did they decide? We're not changing the rates. So anyone wanted to refi like me or anyone's out there trying to get some lower mortgage rates or lower credit card rates, you got to have to wait. But what they did do, they lowered their growth forecast for the next several quarters. Well, that's not great. Why are they doing that? Of course, because of the actions of this administration and the impact that tariffs and uncertainty will have in the marketplace. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Are you a Dem and are you mad? Or are you a Republican and scared of your constituents? Either way, come back with us. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Phone lines are up. Text lines are working. Matt Rothschild joining me today. Just PS working hard as well. I want to get to, you know, I don't know, I guess the environments in which the different political parties are operating these days. But we've got some callers lining up. Let's get to them. We'll start with Mark from the SAC. You will be first. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
After Putin kept Trump hanging on the telephone, I couldn't help but think the old Blondie song there, just hanging on the telephone, that song kept running through my head, that I'm just surprised that it just hasn't been turned to some of our old spy novels and movies where even our allies are turning on, you know, attempting to poison Trump and it is just because he's just betraying everybody. I mean, we have no more allies in Europe anymore. I mean, for God's sakes, Canada's been our closest ally for decades and decades.
You mean our 51st state? And I guess to your point, as we mentioned in the last segment, these folks are pulling further and further away from us, Matt. And this is, you know, well, we're only a couple months into this Trump administration. This president is being very clear about who he supports and who he doesn't. And he is a big fan of the Pooty Poot, man. He's willing to sit on the line, hang on the line. What is this, ELO? Mark, you know what I'm saying? He's going to hang on the line. I'm sorry, I'm talking to my buddies over here, you know, or drinking some vodka. You got to wait there, Mr. President Trump. I mean, the strength that Donald Trump thinks he projects is an overreaction to overcompensating for his massive insecurity and desire to be someone like Putin.
Totally. He wants to be like Putin. He wants to be like Xi. And, of course, Xi said Xi's president for life, essentially. And Trump once said, oh, I wish we could do that here
sometimes. That'd be great. That's a great idea. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. David from San Francisco, you will be next. Welcome, David. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dom. You know, I don't know if you're old enough to remember 1991 when the Soviet Union fell apart, but I think that Trump is trying to replicate that time. If you think about the nation of the Soviet Union falls apart entirely, and their ruble is worth zero. You couldn't, a bucket full of them wouldn't buy a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody with out-of-town money, you know, if you had lira, if you had pounds, if you had francs, you had any kind of cash, you could buy farms, you could buy apartment buildings, you could buy factories. And that's how the oligarchs got started. Those guys were smugglers. They were con artists. They had the organized crime going during the Soviet Union, and they had plenty of cash, and they just swooped in and bought everything. Well, now, the other day, this is about a week ago, when Trump declared his national emergency, alien enemies national emergency, Congress had the ability to compete against it, and there's a nice piece on last Friday's Rachel Maddow show, and she describes how Congress has 15 days to compete against the national emergency, amend it, cease it, whatever. And so Mike Johnson froze time. And so we are stuck in last Thursday.
Yeah. See? It's all one day until the end of the session, right, David?
Exactly. Now, that also means that rent day never shows up. So if you live in Trump Towers, you don't have to pay rent until the end of Congress. And, you know, Harlan Crow owns land all across America. Harlan Crow, I think that's crowdevelopments.com. That's the guy that's been buying Clarence Thomas.
Oh, yeah. No, they're just friends. They're just friends. You know, David, they're just, thank you for the call. I'm going to keep moving. They're just friends, Matt. You know, like, you're my friend, but I don't spend $1 million to fly on my yacht, bro. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't have to report that trip or the other trip or the house you bought for my mom. No, just among friends.
Oh, my God. But to David's point, yes, this Republican Congress is just as responsible, right? I mean, they have the ability to push back on this overreach from this administration, and they are declining to do so.
Yeah, almost no Republican other than Murkowski is speaking up right now.
Oh, speaking of Murkowski, thank you for that. Let's talk about that briefly as well, and we'll get to your calls, 855-752-4842. Murkowski says that few Senate Republicans are willing to speak out against actions by the Trump administration and Elon Musk because most fear for their political lives. Oh, what? I mean, isn't there always a political risk, Matt? I mean, that's in politics. It kind of means there's going to be a political risk one way or the other. Just a quote here, if I may. I get criticized for what I say, and everyone else is like, how come no one else is saying anything? Well, figure it out, because they're looking at how many things are being thrown at me, and it's like, maybe I should just duck and cover, Murkowski said during an appearance at the Alaska State Capitol in Juneau. That's why you've got everyone just zip-lip, not saying a word, because they're afraid they're going to be taken down. They're going to be primaried. They're going to be given names in the media. We cannot be cowed into not speaking up. But I think, Murkowski, good luck there, man. I mean, maybe you won't be, but everybody else is. And when you're afraid, and I'm not even talking just politically afraid, because I've seen reports that some of these folks are literally, physically afraid of their constituents. I mean, if you are elected by a group of people that you're afraid is going to hang Mike Pence, maybe you should reconsider your political leanings.
Get a different group of friends.
You're right.
And, you know, but it is pathetic if you're an elected official and the only thing that you were concerned about, you're not concerned about your integrity, you're not concerned about your principles, you're just concerned about your seat. I gotta keep the little power that I have. You know, that's disgraceful.
So there, that's the Republican side. Now, on the Democratic side, as the Raw story points out, an analyst says an angry base is a motivated base. Perhaps the livid Dems may have gotten the kick that they needed. Well, I don't know about that yet. We'll get there a little bit, but more of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. The Republican parties are scared politically and physically of their constituents, and the Democratic Party is ignoring what their constituents certainly want. I mean, everybody except one person in the Democratic House voted against this thing. And what? Chuck Schumer got something, got nothing for something. And why?
It's time for Chuck Schumer to go. Oh, it's time for the old guard to retire. Get out of the way. You're getting in the way of progress here.
Yeah. I mean, when Pelosi's calling on Schumer, you know, getting in the way of progress. And Pelosi was obviously very, very talented. She kept her house in order. She got some things done. But again, still part of the old guard, man. People are 80-some years old, yo. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Little fresh blood would be nice.
You think maybe someone like young, like 65, you know, would be great. It'd be great. Someone like you get on your pickup basketball team and, you know, make a couple of threes. 855-752-4842. Cam from Appleton, my old stomping grounds. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
6 more years and I could be president.
See?
Yeah. So first something a little jokey, but it's real quick, I promise. I had a dream. I was eating soup that was too hot, and the SpaghettiOs flipped over, and it was your face. And you reminded me in that dream of when I told you and Kroot originally that we needed to pay attention to Elon Musk. And I actually remembered. It was back during the last Super Bowl. Musk was at the Super Bowl with a Russian propagandist, like national propagandist that from Russia itself, and he was hanging out with her the entire time. So there's that. But then you guys earlier were talking about we're not at war with anyone right now. Yesterday or the day before, he added into one of his executive orders language that changed illicit use of fentanyl is considered a weapon of mass destruction. And I know the cartels are creating truces between each other right now. So because they're anticipating U.S. troops coming in at some point. I don't know why anyone would want to take a play out of Cheney and Bush's book, but we're going to get Iraq War 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Thank you for the call, Cam. I got to tell you, I don't know that the Mexican people and or government would be too happy about, you know, I don't know, targeted airstrikes in Mexico. I mean, here's a problem with this whole thing is, apparently, there's a lot of people in this country that want to buy the drugs, man. I mean, let's just be honest about this. And a lot, I would consider most of the smuggling is being done by Americans. So if you're going after, you know, this terrorist fentanyl, and again, you know, Congress has to declare war. President can write all the executive orders he wants. He can write an executive order calling me a 6'9" black man. Doesn't make it so. You know what I'm saying? So he can do whatever he wants in that regard. But if you're going to seriously go after and consider fentanyl or any sort of illicit quote unquote drug use to be fair game, well then you better be ready for some targeted attacks on the border, in big cities in this country, in small towns in this country, because lots of people are using that drug and lots of people are in the business of trafficking those drugs. And you can't just go after the ones that are perhaps, you know, assembling it, manufacturing it with a different, you know, obviously there's different ingredients to make this stuff. You still have to go after the supply line. You know, you don't just fight at the front line. You attack the supply lines as well. You attack the infrastructure. You attack the energy. I mean, look what Putin's doing. That's what you got to get ready for. Now, unless you're ready for, I don't know, dead Americans in the street, because if we go and start bombing Mexico because of their drug manufacturing, aren't they going to start bombing us because of our drug use and trafficking? Seems like fair game to me, Matt.
I mean, the president of Mexico is making the point that, yeah, if there wasn't all this consumption north of the border, there wouldn't be this problem. So I mean, there is some comprehension going on down there.
I mean, I'm serious. And to my humble opinion, I know these things are terrible, and I've had friends that have died from opioid use. So it's not like I'm not sympathetic to the cause. But I'm also one of those folks that think, hey, people want to do what they want to do and knock themselves out. I mean, they should be able to do that. And I'm not a fan. Not my thing. But we've been dealing with the drug war, quote unquote, for a long time, and it is constantly goes against the minorities. It constantly allows for the rich white folks to get off on a lesser charge. I mean, the disparities are historic. And it really hasn't done anything to curb the use, because you know what? People want to use it. That's why it's happening. And drug addiction in and of itself, those addictions, those are health care issues. Those are health and mental issues. These are not matters, in my opinion, of law enforcement, man. We did this during Prohibition. It wasn't so far ago, so long ago, Matt, that you couldn't buy the drinks, man. You couldn't have a drink. People are dying from bathtub gin. Like, people are dying from drugs that are using fentanyl in them to kick them up a bit. You know what helps? Regulation, taxation, like we did or we are doing in some states, not Wisconsin, on the cannabis trade, man. I mean, let's just stop screwing around and accept that we are a flawed species and some people want to get high and get drunk or do whatever those things are. And yes, if you're doing those things and you cause some trouble, you certainly should be consequence. But the consequence of just imbibing in the drink, in the weed, and in fill in your drug here, I think we need to get over that and really start dealing with what the root causes are. Like, I don't know, people feel like the world's going to hell in a handbasket because we got the orange guy causing all sorts of havoc out there. Call me crazy, but that's where I'm at on. I'm sorry, man. I got a little rant here, man.
No, but Trump wants the optics of, you know, just brutally mishandling people of color and sending him, you know, brutally, you know, to some country that's going to put him in a horrible prison like in El Salvador. That's what he wants.
Well, do we even know there are people of color? I mean, how do we know that Michael Cohen wasn't on that plane, man? They haven't provided anything to the judge who's been asking for 3 days. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. I'm asking you, tell us something good. We got one final segment. You know how we wrap it up on the show. Call us up. Tell us something good. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We all running in the same race. Ain't nobody winning. We only here for a minute, yeah. So everybody slow down.
Is beautiful. Let's all take a moment now. Let's just try to breathe it in.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. It is our last segment of the day. And what as we like to do, we like to talk about something good, something happy, put a smile on your face, wrap the show up with a cherry on top. It's all Jess's idea. It's her world. I'm just living in it. Thank you, Jess. It's always a lot of fun. And you can join us. We'll get to you 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. We got a texter in here. Let's see. Andrew from Maine said, the wife made it to 50 years old today. Wow, the big 5-0.
Happy birthday.
Oh, you kids are so cute. And she's feeling slightly better while battling the flu.
Oof.
Oh, that's got to be tough. Hey, happy birthday. You're 50, man. Well, I'm glad she's feeling better. Happy birthday to Mrs. Andrew from Maine. We appreciate you playing with us. 855-752-4842. Matt, I think we do some poetry is a big thing we like to do. It makes you happy. Tell us about what you're thinking about today, man.
Well, a friend of mine, thank you, Betsy, gave me a book by Margaret Atwood, famous for Handmaid's Tale. But she, Margaret Atwood's been a poet for 62 years, and the new book is called Paper Boat, New and Selected Poems, 1961 to 2023.
Wow.
So I'm really enjoying reading that. And I thought we'd offer a poem by Margaret Atwood for our listening audience. So here's a poem called Night Poem. It's a parenting poem and a Northwoods poem.
All right.
So here's Margaret Atwood in her own voice.
Night Poem. There is nothing to be afraid of. It is only the wind changing to the east. It is only your father, the thunder, your mother, the rain. In this country of water, with its beige moon damp as a mushroom, its drowned stumps and long birds that swim, where the moss grows on all sides of the trees, and your shadow is not your shadow, but your reflection. Your true parents disappear when the curtain covers your door. We are the others, the ones from under the lake, who stand silently beside your bed with our heads of darkness. We have come to cover you with red wool, with our tears and distant whispers. You rock in the rain's arms, the chilly arc of your sleep, while we wait your night, father and mother, with our cold hands and dead flashlight, knowing we are only the wavering shadows thrown by one candle in this echo you will hear 20 years later.
Mm. Well, I love that Margaret Atwood poem, night poem.
Damn.
You hear echoes from your parents not only 20 years on, but right. 60 years
As long as you're alive, you will hear those echoes. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. Jess, you got anything you want to throw out there, Jess?
Yeah. I know that not everyone loves this weather, but when it's storming out, I am at my happiest. I love storms. I love the sound of the thunder. I love the sound of the rain. And just having a little bit of time today to be able to watch that, that was something really good for me.
And we've had some hell of a storms rolling through here in Wisconsin. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we lived out on top of a hill in Stevensville, Wisconsin, and we had a deck facing the south. And when storms would come in, we had a great view of this thing rolling in. And I saw a meme recently about, like, hey, here's Midwesterners when a storm rolls in, and here's everybody else. Like, everyone else is in the basement with their candle and their light.
We're grabbing a cup of tea.
Right. Their radio, their battery-powered radio, you know, all being safe. And the rest of us were out on the deck going, man, that's a big tornado.
Would you look at that
look one? Look at that one. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, the original Claire, the OC. What's up, Claire? Tell us something good.
Hey, Dom. I've got part two of a silly joke for you.
All right.
Okay, what do you call a guy with no shovel in his head?
Not Doug?
Douglas.
Ah! He's Douglas. You're so close, Jess. Thank you, Claire. Appreciate the puns as always. Let's see, what's something good? So, what is today? Today's hump day, Wednesday. Yeah. I just firmed up with my siblings, going to go visit mom this weekend. You know, Ma's in the memory care. She got some white matter disease. Not doing great. But she's still got a good sense of humor. And when she's awake and active and at it, we have a great time. And so my sister was visiting recently, and she didn't want to get out of bed that day, and she didn't really eat a whole lot, but she had lots of juice. And before she went to her nap, my sister said, hey, you know, we're all coming up on Saturdays. Anything you want? She's like, Ma, thought for a moment. She said, I want donuts.
No, right.
I'm like, hey,
all right, Ma,
that's what I'm talking about. I want donuts too.
Yeah.
We used to get donuts when we were a kid, man. My dad would go out to the local store, and we'd get these big apple fritters, man. When you're small, this thing's as big as your head. I couldn't believe that this was a donut and this was a thing. And I, to this day, love apple fritters.
Oh,
so I'm gonna go have an apple fritter with mom this weekend. Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for playing along. Thank you to Julie Bomar, the executive director from the Wisconsin Farmers Union. There is more reporting on this. Perhaps we'll get to this tomorrow. Political has a piece out talking about the extent of the money that is being cut from these programs. And we didn't get to the angry Democrats, but, you know, I'm one of those today. We'll get to that perhaps next week. Thank you, Matt Rothschild, for joining me on Wednesdays. Thank you, Jess P.S., for all the hard work that you do. And, folks, stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great evening. Drive safe out there. We had a text to say something good. The rain stopped. It's snowing now. So be careful out there in Madison. Folks, have a great night. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.